Sir, I have a question for you. Ma'am, I have a question. I have a lost child. His name is Rocket Recorders. Man, Michael Brown, have you seen this office? Well, thanks for your help.
No, I mean, they didn't play a terrible game, but I feel like there's no sense in, you know, this is not going to be a repeat of last show. You know, we don't need to go into, like, specifics of specific players who sucked tonight. It's just going to get me pissed off and angry, so I'm not even going to mention any names. Everybody listening and watching knows who played well tonight and who didn't for the Rockets. They played a great three quarters. I had no problem with the way that they played those three quarters. You score 7 points in the fourth quarter against Charlotte? Are you kidding?
That's where I'm falling, Mike.
That's embarrassing. Like, that's bad. That's not, like... And I'm not upset. I'm frustrated at the situation, I guess. I don't know. Are you one of those people that has like a, there's a difference between angry and upset? Or like, to me, it's all just the same thing. Like,
I don't get frustrated over things I can't control. I'll be honest. It's something that I've, you know, come to learn. And honestly, as I've become more of a journalism person, maybe this is the difference between you and me, because I have more of a journalism background, whereas you have more of a business background, and you don't, like, when I see things, I have to see them objectively, you know? So as much as I love the Rockets, and I want the Rockets to do everything, you know, I want them to win every game they possibly can, you know, I look at the situation and there's no anger. You know, and maybe that's sad. Maybe that's a sad thing that, you know, journalism has kind of sucked my, like, passionate takes about it. But I'm still passionate about it. I just show it in a different way. And that's what makes you and I work. You bring, you know, the fan passion, and I bring the basketball side passion. But welcome to another episode of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake here. We're talking Rockets, Hornets. And where did that offense go? And the Rockets were, what was it, 90-87 going into the third quarter, and they lost by 25.
Yep. They got outscored by 20 points.
7 points in the fourth quarter, the franchise low for a quarter. You know, when I saw that John Wall and Eric Gordon were not playing today, I marked this as a loss. So maybe that's also why I'm not as frustrated about tonight, because I knew this game was going to – I had a good feeling this game was going to be a loss. I was surprised to see that the Rockets, you know, played a pretty good three quarters. And the thing is, it's easy to look at this game, especially how it ended, and be like, this team ain't it. This team is not going to, you know. But to be fair, I'm not going to let one quarter of basketball where, to be honest, the five best players, I would say, for the Rockets didn't even play in that quarter. To me, I wouldn't read too much into it. And this whole game in itself, I mean, yes, we should talk about this game and, you know, look at this game for what it was. But to use this game as a litmus test for where the Rockets truly stand is not fair to this team, because this team played – it was a JV Rocket squad tonight, and they held their own for three quarters, and they ultimately lost to a varsity Hornet squad that is a little bit better than I think we really expected.
Yeah. It's just frustrating. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but the fact remains that they've lost back-to-back games to – they're at best mediocre teams. San Antonio was mediocre.
Well, Mike, if Charlotte is mediocre,
like, whatever.
Well, if the Spurs and the Hornets are at best mediocre and the Rockets lost to both of them, what does that say about the Rockets?
Exactly.
Maybe that's where the Rockets are.
I don't disagree with the fact that they're mediocre, but the fact is that they had a good thing going, and now all of a sudden – why did Eric Gordon sit tonight? For what?
For rest.
Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, that's fine. If Eric Gordon played tonight, I think they win.
That's if John Wall plays tonight, I think they win.
Yeah, but John Wall
– Christian Wood plays tonight, I think they win. I think they only need one of those guys.
But the difference is that there's legitimate reasoning to sit Eric – to sit Christian Wood, he's hurt. To sit John Wall because he's coming – he doesn't play back-to-backs, which is fine. But why did Eric – why? Because he's tired? Like, there's no reason.
He is hurt. You got to understand, Mike.
If he comes back tomorrow, he's not hurt. They just rested him, which means that the Rockets blew an opportunity to win a game tonight. I feel like the last two games have been blown opportunities at wins. That's where I see. Watching the game as intently as you and I do, do you not feel like the last two games we've left wins on the table?
Well, maybe what they were doing is they saw tonight as, you know, hey, maybe we can get this win without these guys, and then tomorrow we look that much better. And honestly, I expect a huge game out of Eric Gordon tomorrow and a huge game out of John Wall tomorrow, both of whom played really well against the Spurs. You know, it's frustrating when this team plays kind of like a hockey team where, you know, you only get a certain amount of guys on each night, and it's just – it's difficult. And maybe I'm just saying that because, you know, we've had four of our last five games have been on a back-to-back. And tomorrow night we'll have another back-to-back game, and then right into Thursday another game. So, you know, these games haven't really been fair. And look at the Rockets in these four games. They're 1-3. So I think, honestly, it's just a matter of – this is where they are in the schedule right now, and, you know, it's a tough stretching your schedule, but, you know, the Rockets shouldn't be expected to win every game. That's it.
No, they shouldn't, but these are two games they very easily had a good shot at winning. The Rockets were in it against San Antonio. Tonight, much less of a chance than the San Antonio game, but you were down by three going into the fourth quarter. And you completely stink the bed and score 7 points? What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, there's not an excuse. I'm not excusing anything or anything like that.
Ben McLemore not being on the court for a lion's share of the fourth quarter is not acceptable when he's having one of his best games, easily his best game of the year, again, coming down to rotations with Coach Silas. We saw it in the San Antonio game where different guys should have been on the court. In my opinion, at the end of the game, they weren't. No problem. We move on. Tonight, same thing in the fourth quarter. Why is Ben McLemore not on the court when it mattered most?
Let's shout out Benny Mac first. That's first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, Benny Mac. I mean, his best game of the year. He still can't cover anybody, but, I mean, he had a great game offensively. He could shoot. I mean, he could shoot the rock.
Well, I honestly think that when you have the full team there, it's much easier to make adjustments, right?
Yeah.
But when you have guys sitting out, when you have guys that you can't play, and you're only – because they really had 10 guys dressed today. If you want to count Kuric, sure. But so let's take him out, though. You dressed 9 guys today.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, like, if KJ Martin wasn't in the G League, I think he would have played tonight. But I just think that with this, like, Steven Silas has had all year long, he's been restricted in what he can and cannot do with this team. And, you know, John Wall can't play back-to-backs. Victor Oladipo can't play back-to-backs. Eric Gordon needs to rest here and there. DeMarcus Cousins, Christian Wood has been hurt. James Harden, you know, is playing, but he's not really playing. So, like, he's been restricted in what he can and cannot do. COVID for Ben McLemore, COVID for Daniel House. Like, there's always been something, and it doesn't seem like that's going to change anytime soon. I mean, Christian Wood posted an Instagram post today saying that he of him in the pool, so maybe he'll be back soon. But that's the thing. At this point, just I wouldn't read too much into this loss. To me, I didn't learn too much about this team tonight. Like, you would think after every game, you learn something new about your team. But when you have as many players out for the Rockets, key players, I think you saw tonight, like, the Hornets shot 50% from the three-point line. That doesn't happen if John Wall's there. That doesn't happen if Eric Gordon's there. That's – the thing is, I would say that John Wall, Eric Gordon, Christian Wood are the three biggest difference makers, both on offense and on defense, because – on defense, even for Christian Wood, he can go out, he can defend the perimeter, and he can go inside. And they needed someone inside, especially at the end of that game. And if Christian Wood was in that fourth quarter, the Hornets don't go on as furious of a run as they did. So, to me, I didn't learn too much about this team tonight. I learned that Ben McLemore still has it, thank God, because, you know, maybe he should get the minutes. And that's, you know, that's a personal one. That's for my boy Benny Mac. But I mean, I knew that already. I knew Benny Mac could ball out, so that didn't surprise me. Honestly, the only thing that surprised me tonight was that
I learned two things tonight.
I didn't learn too much about the Rockets tonight. I learned the Hornets. You know, the Hornets, I think, have one of the best uniform closets. Well, I'll call it a closet because that's, I guess, you know, that should be what those things are called. Let's normalize that. Let's call uniform outlets a closet. But I think they have one of the most diverse and incredible closets in the NBA. And they picked, what, the purples tonight? I was like, eh. Like, I really wanted to go with those, like, real light blues, you know? You've seen those, Mike.
I have. I learned two things about
the Rockets. I wish they had those tonight. And the Rockets had red. Like, ooh, that would have been nice.
Yeah. Number one, Victor Oladipo is not the dude.
No, he's not.
Sorry.
But we already knew that.
Trade him at the deadline for whatever you can get. Which, in this fan's eyes, makes the Harden trade look that much worse. I know you love the draft picks. I get it. Totally understand it. And that's great.
In 6 years from now, you're not going to be saying the same thing.
I don't even know if I'm going to be here in 6 years. I mean, I treat my body like an
amusement park. I don't even know if I'm here tomorrow.
I mean, like an amusement park. So it's like, I don't know if I'm going to be here. I'm just saying, I learned that. And I learned
you're here tomorrow. I hope you're here in 6 years.
I thank you, buddy. I mean,
we are both pretty young people.
That's true. I also learned tonight that this NBA, like, the Hornets clowned the Rockets in the fourth quarter, right? Are we on the same page there? They clowned them.
Yes.
They're laughing at them. They're dapping each other up. You know what I would have done to one of their players if they would have gone up? I would have put him in the first row. Just a hard, clean foul. But you know what? That's not today's NBA. Like, you know who would have done that? You know who would have never have taken that type of clowning? Was guys like Kevin Willis, Vernon Maxwell, Mario Welle. Like,
well, they wouldn't have gotten clowned like that in the first place.
It's like tonight, like the Rockets just looked – that was what was most frustrating about the game is I don't even mind losing, right? Like, to be honest with you, the loss doesn't upset me. What upsets me is the way they looked doing it. They took stupid shots. They had no urgency on either side of the court. And you're letting some 19-year-old who I think has a really good future in this league of LaMelo Ball. He looks better than I thought. Like, the kid can flat out play. Probably, yeah. Minnesota screwed up. They probably should have took Ball. But the problem was is they got too many easy shots. And there wasn't one clean, you're not going to do this to us. Like, we're going to have some nad, even if we're going to go down. There was none of that. They just looked soft.
You know who would have done that?
They folded over like a wet blanket, and it sucks.
You know who would have done that?
Who?
John Wall.
Yeah, probably. That's why, I mean,
they really missed John Wall tonight.
I love me some John Wall. You know, I thought Boogie was that guy. I thought Tucker could be that guy. I think Tate
the way Boogie's been playing, he can't be like that.
Well, I mean, but this is what I'm talking about, though. For a second night in a row, the Rockets got destroyed on the front line. Just destroyed on the front line.
Well,
at inopportune times in the game. Not the whole game. Jayshon Tate. Love me some Jayshon Tate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Props to you, Jeremy Brenner. I want to give you as much props as I can for calling Jayshon Tate at the beginning.
I mean,
of the year.
Didn't scout him, but.
Yeah, but you knew what was coming. Like, this
knew what was coming.
This dude.
To be fair, actually, no, that's not fair. I didn't think he was going to be like a starter like 10 games into the season, but hey.
You were so early on him, but here's the thing. Like, he's great. But let me ask you this. If our guys are going to play so haphazardly like they did in the fourth, then just go all young, man. Just bring up Kevin Porter Jr. Let KJ Martin play. Like, if you're the front office and you're not going to get guys to help for this season, which I know you're not a fan of, and quite honestly, I can be talked into not wanting those JaVale McGee types or somebody to come in and, you know, bring in a backup point. So if you're not going to bring in anybody, then just go full youth. Then just
well,
go full.
That's kind of what they did tonight, Mike. John Wall, Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, three of the most experienced players in the roster didn't play. Mason Jones got 15. I mean, they're playing a very young group of guys. Jayshon Tate is an undrafted rookie, played 29 minutes. Mason Jones, an undrafted rookie, played 15 minutes. So they are playing young guys. And the thing is, we talk about this conundrum they have with going out and getting guys and such because they don't really know if they're a contender or not yet. But can you really look at this team and call them a team that can't go make the playoffs yet when they are missing their three best players? Exactly. Nope. So that is why you still cannot make that deduction yet until you get much closer to the trade deadline. Once you're at the trade deadline, then you can start seeing, okay. And look, the Rockets are 11-12. Like, we're talking about this team as if they're the worst team in the league, and they're far from that. I mean, there aren't, you know, they're nowhere close. They're closer to the bottom than the top, but they are not, you know, the worst team in the league. They could easily start a 6-game winning streak tomorrow if they really wanted to. But ultimately, if you sacrifice short, like, long-term assets for short-term success, it's not going to get you much further. The value of getting a like guy like JaVale McGee is not going to benefit your team in the long run. It might benefit your team for 2 weeks, but it's not going to benefit your team in the long run. So the Rockets just kind of have to go with what they got. And that, because the thing is, they're kind of in the middle. They're not good enough to take, like, they're not bad enough to where they're tanking for the playoffs and they could just go full youth, but they're not, you know, a team that needs to go out and be a buyer. They don't have to be a buyer. Like, teams like Brooklyn needs to be a buyer because their window is open now. Philly, their window is open now. Miami, a team that has a worse record than the Rockets, but their window is open right now. So they have to make a move now. Houston is not there yet, and that's okay. We were in that boat for years because we had James Harden in his prime. We don't have that anymore. So at this point, games like this are going to happen. And to be honest, games like this are going to happen for years, for a few years. And this is – we've been spoiled as Rockets fans because we have this idea that, you know, the team is competitive every year. And we're lucky that even when they're not championship contenders, they still put up a competitive fight every now and then. If John Wall played tonight, this game would have been a lot more competitive. They probably would have won. Same with Eric Gordon and same with Christian Wood. It just didn't happen tonight. And I'm willing to say, you know what, okay, take the loss, go to Tuesday, and, you know, go from there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you. It's just a thought. I mean, the guy, we talked about it last show. One name that you and I did not talk about is Rashawn Holmes in Sacramento. That's the type
of guy.
I know, but there was talks about him possibly wanting out. You know, John Collins in Atlanta. Like, they need young pieces that they can
build. Ding, ding, right there. Yeah. That's it.
Well, if you have a front line moving forward of Tate, Collins, and Wood, yeah, I'm all about that.
Like, and, Mike, this is why you get Victor Oladipo instead of Caris LeVert. Because Caris LeVert, if you bring him in, you can't afford John Collins. But with Oladipo out and probably not coming back, now the Rockets have a max slot where they can offer Collins more money than Atlanta can match. Because he is a restricted free agent. And if you put John Collins in there, in that starting five, that's a wrap. That's a wrap. We're going to be following, like, John Collins, listen, guys, now, because I would not be surprised. Like, he will likely get a meeting on the first night of free agency with the Rockets. I can put money on that right now. I don't know if I'd put as much money as, you know, what John Collins is probably going to make on this free agent deal, but I could put in a friendly wager.
But the comment I made earlier was, you don't make a decision today on what you're going to do at the deadline, because the deadline is still, what, it's about
a month and a half away. It's about March 25th.
It's about 6 weeks away, but if you continue to lose games like these where you're down a Wood or a Gordon and a Wall, it's going to make your decision a lot easier that you're going to be sellers at the deadline. You're not going to be buyers. And that is the point where you just go, look, we want to see what Kevin Porter has. We want to see what KJ Martin has. We want to see what Jayshon Tate has. We want to see what these young guys can have. And if they don't go get, I mean, it hurts to watch DeMarcus Cousins try and guard people on the perimeter sometimes. Like, it just, it hurts the soul. And right now, their best option is to go small. But when you play against a guy like I can't even believe
I'm going to say Biombo.
Bismack Biombo, not even until the second half. And I'm not going to yell and scream Cody Zeller, because we did that last show with, you know, Eubanks. But the fact that Cody Zeller,
had 12 points.
I feel like we need to find
somebody. 12 points, Cody Zeller?
Yeah, just allow me just an open spot every show now. We get it sponsored. Like, it'll be great. Just for me to scream. Yeah, but double digits to Cody Zeller is ridiculous.
If any local sponsor in Houston would like to be sponsored and have Michael Brown scream excellent things about their product and or company, hit us up.
I do have backup on this. When the telecast, when Bullard and Ackerman compare Cody Zeller to an accountant on the broadcast, but it's true. Like, he sucks.
Nice. Okay, but he looks like an accountant, but he can still play.
I understand that, but when I say these,
I think it's just things, physical features. I don't think it has anything to do with his basketball skills.
Yeah, they suck. I mean, it's fun.
Hey, Cody Zeller has made a lot of money in Charlotte. Like, he's been there since 2013. He was Victor Oladipo's college teammate. So think about it. Victor Oladipo, as great as he is, has been to Orlando, Oklahoma City, Indiana, and Houston. So four teams in, like, 8 years. Cody Zeller has stayed with the Hornets all year.
Because he happened to find a dumb enough organization to continue to pay him what they've paid him. I will tell you this. You know who I wouldn't mind as a backup big on this roster is Bismack Biyombo.
I know, Bismack Biyombo. Remember, like, I think he still is reaping the benefits of – remember in 2016 when he was with the Raptors?
Yep.
And he, like, had – like, he needed to start some games, and he played, like, super well, and that warranted him, like, this super big contract. The Magic signed him to the contract.
It was, like, $60 million. Like, it was something – just absurdly stupid. But I would take Bismack Biyombo. Bismack Biyombo is the perfect guy to come off the bench for this team.
Yeah. He got paid 4 years, $72 million.
Yeah, it's even worse than I thought.
The Magic.
I mean, it's worse than I thought.
He was traded to the Hornets, and then the Hornets put him on another contract this season.
Tonight was just a night where I wouldn't have minded seeing the Rockets' youth just try and run. Because the Hornets... I mean, when you draft in the first round for 25 straight years like they have, you know, eventually you're going to get a team that's got some talent to it. I mean, eventually, at some point, you would think.
That the thing team, is, they've always been, like, just there. Like, they got Kemba Walker, and they rode Kemba Walker as long as he could. And they've had, like, Cody Zeller's been okay. You know, P.J. Washington looks to be decent for them. Miles Bridges, I really like. Malik Monk, I think. Was he in the first round? I think
so. Yeah. Drafted him by 12.
They're all lottery picks. They're all, like, mid-late lottery picks. And then they got LaMelo Ball. And I think LaMelo Ball can be their number one for a long time.
Yeah. LaMelo.
He has staying power in the league.
Dude.
If you look at how Anthony Edwards – have you seen how Anthony Edwards is, like, statistically, like, the worst player in the NBA?
It's close.
Like there are – like, if you look at NBA math – like, it's a Twitter account. I think it's called NBA Math. It might be called something different, but that's what they used to be called. I think it's NBA_Math. But if you look at, like, honestly, this – if you want to learn more about analytics, I use this specifically to look at analytics and numbers and learn more. So follow them at NBA_Math. This is not an NBA_Math sponsored episode of the podcast, but it's really good. You learn about all things TPA, and they have fun little charts where they put pictures of everyone in the NBA, and it looks kind of funny because they're all, like, scattered on, like, a huge chart. But Anthony Edwards, like, according to this TPA math, is one of the worst players – or NBA math is one of the worst players in the NBA.
Well, it's also – comes down to system, you know, the players around him. Yeah. I have never been a D'Angelo Russell fan. Carl Anthony Towns has been in and out of the lineup. And one thing you saw tonight was – I mean, LaMelo Ball has the green light. I mean, that dude will pull up from anywhere. I mean, he's just allowed to run and gun on that team, which matches his style. Now, is that sustainable for a long time? I don't know. It's to be determined. But he is – oh, God, man, he can fly. I mean, that dude is exciting and fun to watch.
I'm going to pull up some questions from our listeners, viewers from the live – portion of our show. Mr. Sinister, when can we call up Kevin Porter Jr.? So this actually is a good question because the G League bubble starts Wednesday, right? I believe, let me look up exactly when the Vipers play, because that'll be a good opportunity to see Kevin Porter in action. They play Wednesday night at 6:30 Houston time. You can catch the game on ESPN Plus. So if you have access to ESPN Plus, go and watch the Vipers. It's going to be, honestly, KPJ KJ. KJ Martin and Kevin Porter, and they're both going to get a lot of playing time. And then the G League bubble ends March the 6th. Now, I do think that teams can call up their guys whenever, but I would imagine they stay until the bubble because the game ends right after All-Star break. So I would assume right after the All-Star break is when you're going to see them come back to the team and potentially play for, you know, the big league team.
It could be any day. I mean,
I think they're going to keep him there. I really do.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me either way. It could be any day, but I honestly lean towards what you're saying.
Unless these injuries really pile up, but I really love the idea of watching Kevin Porter in the bubble because he's going to get a time. He's going to get time to get, like, rust, yeah, get it off, and then when he comes back, have an opportunity to potentially crack the rotation. I hope he gets a good shot at it. And, you know, I'd imagine that it'd be sometime between the All-Star break and the trade deadline, because I think if the Rockets see Kevin Porter as a guy that can play, and they're more likely to deal Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, hot take alert. I don't – by the time the trade deadline is over, I think the Rockets will have moved on from Oladipo, Tucker, and McLemore. I think all three of those guys will be gone.
I think at least one of those guys will be gone.
Yeah, it all depends on the deal. You know, if these teams start to get desperate, that's what you got to hope if you're a Rockets fan at this point. You and I are on the same page that this team is not a championship contender. But you got to hope that there's some contenders out there that get desperate. You know, the Clippers, you know, come at you with an offer for Ben McLemore because they feel like they need more shooting off the bench. You know, Miami really misses – who did they lose to
Phoenix? Myers Leonard.
No, to Phoenix.
Jay Crowder.
They miss Jay Crowder, and they're willing to give you a pretty decent deal for PJ Tucker. If
the Rockets need to listen to everything.
Absolutely. Everything is on the
position they're in, because they're in a very unique position where they have trade chips and a reason to deal them.
Correct. And everybody outside of, Christian Wood and Jayson Tate. I mean, I know you're a
fan. I don't think John Wall's getting traded.
John Wall. Okay, so John Wall.
We're not getting traded at the trade deadline. Maybe after the season, potentially, yeah, but not at the trade deadline.
But I think you listen to offers. I think you're always listening. If somebody blows you away, says, "Wow, Eric Gordon is playing some of the best."
If someone offers you two first for Eric Gordon, you definitely have to consider it.
Absolutely, and that's why I say that he's on the table. Everybody besides Tate, Wall, and Wood, to me, are on the table. Raphael Stone says my phone is on for any one of those phone calls. Mm-hmm. You know, then you got to try and build some assets towards the future.
Yeah,
you know, and it feels like post trade deadline, that's when you could see this team, to answer the commenter's question, where you could just see this team in full youth fun mode. I mean, you could have a starting five of Gordon, Wall, Tate, Porter, and Wood. You know, I'm down with the get down on that.
Mm-hmm. One more opportunity. Jake Mountford over here is giving us an opportunity to gas Jayson Tate up again. So you want to take this opportunity to do it again?
Yeah, the spike block on LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, let's talk about that specifically.
That was filthy.
That might have been the highlight reel moment for Jayson Tate this season.
I mean, and you know what?
It's one of those plays you're going to remember after tonight.
And you know what I love about Jayson Tate is that he has one speed. There is no, let me see what's going on here. No, it's pedal to the metal. Like, let's get up and go. I think the next step to his game, though, is trusting his three. Mm-hmm. Too many times he gets an open three, and he'll shot fake, and he'll try to go to the bucket. And the playing court to him is not level. It's downhill. Like, it is, I'm coming at you, and I'm going to come at you hard at the bucket. And he's great at finishing around the rim. For a rookie, it's ridiculous how easy he makes it look to finish at the rim. But he's got to, you know, guys are going to start to say, okay, we know what's coming. We're going to back off you a little bit, prove you can hit the three-point shot. Very reminiscent of Draymond Green. Like, Draymond Green could get to the bucket and guys would just leave him open at the three-point line. He's got to prove that he can hit that shot consistently. And Jayshon Tate's game is only going to go up. I mean, the kid is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Kelly Eco, the Athletic beat writer for The Rockets and the friend of the Dream Shakes, he wrote for the Dream Shake at one point. He wrote a real nice article on Jayshon Tate, like his overseas story before he came to the NBA. So if you have an Athletic subscription, go check him out. And if you don't have an Athletic subscription, it's extremely cheap. You can go out and get one for very little money. So make your money's worth and go and watch – read that article and check out all the content. But you can also check out all of our content, all things Houston Rockets, at thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets, on espnation.com. You should probably head over there as well. We give LA free content, so there you go.
You scared me when you said Kelly Eco. I thought a trade just went down. Some injury news came out. I had no idea that was a plug for a story. We need to have a buzzer or like a red, like a trigger. Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking? I honestly think because the Rockets are such big, and I'm throwing this out. We haven't talked really about this, but let's do a trade deadline show. We should do a trade deadline show live. And
I'm so in.
Yeah, and then we get like a buzzer. You know the jump does that? Like they put like a buzzer up there and, you know, because the Rockets are going to be big players at the trade deadline. But I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. Actually, before we go, one last thing. Tomorrow night, Pelicans. One thing to look for.
Bounce back. The Rockets aren't
revenge. They need a big win. And the Pelicans are going to come at it too. The Pelicans have had two full days off since their last game. They really want to beat the Rockets considering they took a bad beating to them the last time they were there. Let's find some of that magic that they had in New Orleans and apply it to tomorrow's game. But thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Be sure to follow The Dream Take on Twitter, at The Dream Take. And you can also follow us, The Dream Shake, on Twitter, at Dream Shake SBN. Give The Dream Shake a like on Facebook if you're over there. And be sure to subscribe to The Dream Take on your podcast app of choice. We apologize for the technical difficulties with Apple for the previous episode. We've been working with a whole lot of different platforms lately, with StreamYard and with Periscope and YouTube, and we've been, you know, trying to find the right fit. And sometimes it doesn't all fit correctly, but we think we're getting somewhere. So you should hopefully be able to listen to the episode on your podcast app of choice. Hopefully, if it doesn't work, we will keep you updated on our socials. Be sure to also follow my co-pilot on Twitter. You can't really see him right now if you're watching this, but you can follow my co-pilot, Michael Brown, on Twitter at
BSW_NB.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. It's my name, nothing fancy, JeremyBrenner. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And until next time, go Rockets!